It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said that patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have 3 square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Podcasts of all the shows are there, recaps, all kinds of great information. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Very important show planned for you today. Another thing that we are doing is Headlines for Hope. These are some amazing little snippets, some stories of inspiration. So those are on the website as well. Check those out. And starting yesterday, we had Erin Will on the show, and she is recommending at noon to stop and play Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. I did that yesterday, Steve. Did you?
No, ma'am. I have to confess I didn't think of it.
I'll have to ping you on that then, huh?
Oh, yeah, you will. Yes.
And then I'm getting to do something really fun, and Susan Kochevar also has been invited to do this. And this is a national town hall, which will be on Fox News this evening at 5 o'clock on Martha McCallum's show. We'll be asking experts different questions, and it's a virtual town hall. It's real interesting how this is going to happen, so be sure and check that out at 5 o'clock. And then our good friend Helen Raleigh is going to be on Shannon Bream's show talking about COVID-19. That'll be at 9 o'clock tonight on Fox News, so be sure and check that out as well. And while you're at it, I'd recommend that you know, we're going to walk through this thing that we're coming through. And on June 22nd will be our salon series with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice over at Water's Edge Winery. And the subject is the 3 punches to knock down democratic socialism. Steve, it is going to be really timely because we are getting our taste of socialism right now. And that is government control, empty shelves at the market. And we're seeing what socialism is like. We don't like it. And so that's going to be quite an event. So I recommend that you go ahead and sign up because that's going to sell out. It'll be a very important salon series, Steve.
I'm looking forward to that. That's something that we had to reschedule, but in the course of current events, I hope it all works out.
Well, you know, I think it's probably a divine intervention because at this point in time, people are going to be really interested in that particular subject.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot happening today.
Let's hope for a huge awakening here.
If this doesn't knock people on the side of the head, I don't know what will, Steve. My gosh. Because socialism ultimately comes down to force. You know, we talk about freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And we've seen that force has been somewhat kind of hidden behind these words like mandate and regulate and compliance. All those are force words. And what we are seeing, the solution to this challenge that we have is ultimately going to be our innovation, our creativity, using our minds to get through this. I know that there's a lot of conversations about these stimulus plans. I'm not jazzed about taking on all this debt. This is a crisis right now. We have people on both sides, I would say people that are conservatives, that some espouse this is a good idea. Others say not so much, but it's a crisis. We're walking through that. But remember, socialism ultimately comes down to force, and it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, whether with or property or freedom, whether it's with force, a weapon policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And so if something is a good idea, you should not need force to implement it. And we see that. We've seen this before we went into this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing. We have seen socialization as far as transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data, and healthcare. And so we need to make sure that we're walking back government control of those things. Before we jump into everything else here, we'd like to say thank you to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, our team, for all your support and good work. And thank you to each of you listeners. You have a purpose today. You're valued. You're treasured. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Our inspiration for today is from Benjamin Rush. He was an American physician, politician, and educator who is best known for his activities during the American Revolution and for signing the Declaration of Independence. He studied at Princeton University, then went on for a medical degree at Edinburgh University. He was born in 1746, died in 1813 at the age of 67 years old. I thought it'd be very timely to quote him because in our segments 3 and 4, we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio about COVID-19 and also Medicare for All. And then in the second segment, I forgot to mention that we're going to have Casper Stockham on, who is running for Congress in Congressional District 7. But our inspiration for today is says, unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an undercover dictatorship to restrict the art of healing to one class of men and deny equal privileges to others. The Constitution of the Republic should make a special privilege for medical freedoms as well as religious freedoms. Steve, can you believe that?
You know, in light of, again, the world situation, wow.
I know.
We have arrived.
We have arrived, that's for sure. So now, our funnies for today. The other day, we had given the feminine version of this question. And so today, we're going to give the male version of this.
Maybe let's just move on.
A French teacher split the class into two groups, male and female, and asked them to decide for themselves whether computer should be masculine, la, or feminine, la. Each group was asked to give 4 reasons for the recommendations. Now, a couple of days ago, we gave the feminine, the masculine. But the women's group, however, concluded that computers should be masculine, le computer, because 1, in order to do anything with them, you have to turn them on. 2, they have a lot of data but still can't think for themselves. 3, they are supposed to help you solve problems, but half the time they are the problem. And 4, as soon as you commit to one, you realize that you'd waited a little longer, you could have gotten a better model.
I think 50% of your listenership just got disturbed, angry.
Did they? Now, come on, we have to have a sense of humor these days, right?
Yeah, we do. We really do.
Okay.
I mean, just watch the news. I mean, if that doesn't make you laugh, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, it makes you laugh and cry at the same time. But late breaking, Patty sent me a text last night that the Supreme Court here in Colorado has ruled that the legislature, that 120 days does not have to be consecutive. So what that means, Steve, is all of you out there, we need to get our brains around what is going on down at the State House. Things that seemed weird, I would say, or odd, or things that didn't make sense to me, things that were just downright dumb. Let me just put it that way. You know, we had kind of let those go through because we were in a very prosperous time. When we come out of this COVID-19 Wuhan virus situation, people are going to be ramping back up, getting back into their jobs, and they have tapped their savings maybe to get through this, hoping that they have a job when they come back. And so these things that have been proposed before we went into this temporary adjournment, we now see the real effects of that, what would happen, and we need to make sure we walk that back. An example is this mandate that they're trying to get through on biodiesel. It would make diesel more expensive for our trucks. That are you not glad to see those trucks going up and down the highway, knowing that they are bringing goods to our markets for you to purchase so that you can take care of yourself and your family? And it is beyond reason that we would use government mandates and compliance to make that more expensive to do, because that's going to be passed on to the consumer. Another thing, Steve, remember the mandate on how much square footage each chicken should have that is laying eggs. Are you not really excited when you go to the market and you see that there's eggs to buy? That kind of legislation is going to make eggs more expensive, which just means that there may be in shorter supply. Or how about another favorite, the mandate on renewable, natural gas? Steve, I have to think that you're probably really liking it when you turn on your range and you're able to cook something during this COVID-19 Wuhan virus pandemic right now.
I am. Very.
And would you like to pay more for that, or would you like to have that be limited, the supply be limited?
Oh, geez. You know, it's such a such a decision, you know, for consumers to have to make.
And it shouldn't have to be that way.
No.
If we had legislators that cared about everyday hardworking Coloradans instead of their agenda, it would be a good thing. But they have an agenda down there, and unfortunately, they're going to have more days to try to push that through. Now, when I was on city council, I was at a CML, that was a Colorado Municipal League. They do this big conference every year and bring in all of the different city councils and council members. And then you kind of see these agendas that are coming. I don't know where they're coming from exactly, but I remember a woman getting, this would have been, oh gosh, probably 2012, 2013, standing up saying, we need to get rid of plastic bags in our grocery stores. And I was scratching my head. I'm thinking, well, you know, it's really convenient to go to the store and be able to buy your goods and put them in a bag and bring them home. Of course, the far left destroyed the paper bag industry pretty much. And then now they're wanting to destroy the plastic bag industry. And I'm thinking, but it's a sign of prosperity that people can go to the store and buy what they want and put it in a bag and take it home. So then there was this big push towards these reusable bags. And Cody Hubley had done such an excellent op-ed, check it out on my website, about the actual cost of these renewable bags. But we also realized that people were bringing in dirty bags. Very few people were washing those bags, which that takes energy to do that, to bring them back into the store. So people were bringing in filthy bags into the stores to put their groceries in, and there was all this virtue signaling about how great that was. We realize now that that was a really dumb idea as well, because we are working on making our society, you know, much cleaner because of this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing. But yet here over here, we had legislators wanting to use their power to say that you couldn't have a plastic bag or you'd be taxed, or they're actually banning it. And so you can see how insidious this whole freedom versus force thing, the fact that legislators want to dictate a plastic bag just realizes how far this agenda has gone as far as trying to control your life. Steve, your comment?
Well, I was just talking to Casper, so I don't really have a comment. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, that's good. Casper's on the line then.
Yes.
Let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Casper Stockham. He is has put his hat in the ring. He's running for Congressional District 7 for Congress. And we'll find out what he thinks about these current events. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson, and be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. Every day during April at noon, Aaron Will came up with this great idea to play God Bless the USA, and that was Lee Greenwood, and it is a fabulous song. I got to see him perform that in person shortly after he released the song, Steve, and it was pretty darn cool.
What year was that?
I'm not going to tell you that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Don't go there.
Don't go there. So, hey, I am so excited to have on the line Casper Stockham. He is a candidate for Congressional District 7, which is all these races are so important. Casper Stockham, welcome to the show.
It's good to be on with you, Kim. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, doing fine. How are you all doing through this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing?
Well, we're virus-free at the moment, so life is good.
Well, excellent. So how is it being on the quote-unquote campaign trail right now with everybody locked down?
Oh, you know, it's a challenge for sure, because one of the biggest things politicians do is go out to be seen and you know, shake hands and kiss babies, and can't do any of that anymore. So it's a totally new dynamic. We have to do a lot of things online, you know, through webinars and podcasts and the media, you know, radio and TV shows like this, radio shows.
Okay. And tell us exactly, why are you stepping forward to run for Congressional District 7?
Well, some of the audience may know I was running in 6, and I had a primary in 6. And I was doing pretty well. I was going to get on the ballot for sure, but it was going to be a fight, no doubt, because the person I was running against had a lot of resources. And I was planning on raising some more money. I had some meet and greets planned and fundraisers and all that heading into the assembly. But then Corona showed up and shut literally everything down, including fundraising. So that put me in a very tough position to go forward. And then I got a call from the folks over at CD7, and they were talking about 7, and I said, you know, I'm really not interested in 7, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't say no. I would think about it. And that's exactly what I did. I talked to my team about it. I talked to consultants about it. And everybody I talked to, once we looked at all the pros and cons, we decided that it was actually a really good move, because at the end of the day, over 50% of my current support comes from Jefferson County. Because when I ran for CD1, it included parts of Jefferson County, and I would always win that district, you know, that county, but then I would lose the Denver County when you added all the numbers together. So I have a lot of support in Jefferson County. I have a lot of volunteers and workers in Jefferson County. So it just made sense for me to do that, and also to now, instead of running against Steve House, to reach out to him for help. So we've been communicating back and forth. You know, I just texted him yesterday with some questions for some help and stuff, and he responded almost immediately. So, you know, we're getting that going even in the midst of all this COVID-19 stuff.
Well, you know, Casper, it seems like that makes sense instead of running against each other to divide and conquer. But just a question, you mentioned CD1, CD6, CD7. I thought you had to live in the district that you were running for. So how does that work out?
Yeah, so you do not have to live in the district to run, but you do have to live to serve. So had I won in CD1, I would have to move into Denver. But I've lived in Denver before. I've lived in Aurora. You know, I currently live in Aurora, but I've lived in Aurora for 16 years. So some of my critics have said, well, you know, I'm just shopping around for CDs. Well, I didn't shop around. I ran and won twice because I wanted to make a difference in Denver for the party. And we did make a difference. You know, I hold the record for the most votes by any Republican in that area. But CD1, CD2, and CD7 typically don't get any real support from the party or the National Republican Committee, because they don't consider those districts winnable. And I think that's a huge mistake. Okay. I think we need to always try to you know, put forth effort in those districts to make a difference statewide.
You know, I mean, I know there's limited resources, and I understand that. However, I really think that in order to win the war, you have to engage in each of the battles. So it seems to me like it makes sense for you to be over here in CD7, Steve to be in CD6, and then really just do an all-out effort to communicate with people. When we come out of COVID-19, the Wuhan virus thing, it's going to be a different world. People that used to say, I'm not into politics, realize that politics is into you. Politics is coming in. These governors and mayors are saying, you're essential and you're not. You can do this and you can't. We're going to use our power to do this or that. All of a sudden, I think that we've had the veil come off on the socialist or move towards socialism. And people, I don't think, like socialism once they're kicking the tires on it here with empty shelves, lines to get into the store, government taking more and more of your power, telling you who's essential, who's not. It's going to be a different world when we come out on this other side.
It absolutely is. And I was telling people that same thing even before this virus hit. You know, people say, well, I'm not really into politics. It doesn't matter. You know, we're finding out, you know, like you said, politics is into you, whether you're into it or not. So, yeah, you know, we need to be vigilant and we need to be, you know, just be aware that government has a tendency to overreach, you know, just like we're seeing right now.
You think?
And I think they're excited about it, to be honest with you. So I know they, you know, they paint a picture like, you know, we have to do this because of, you know, whatever. But I think at the end of the day, they're like, man, this is great. You know, we get to tell the people exactly what they will and won't do. Just like yesterday I heard Cuomo talking about he's shutting down the parks because people are out playing in the parks, you know, and the kids are playing in the playground. And he says, people, what are you doing? You know, people are dying out here. People are going to the park and playing. So he says, look, I don't want to have a mandated order to, you know, to make you stay in the house. But, you know, I may have to do that. So, yeah, it's interesting times.
Well, and with Cuomo, you know, here's a guy now, he's acting like he cares so much about human life. You know, he was quoted as saying, my mother's not expendable. But yet he's part of the party that have been for assisted suicide on one end of the spectrum of life. And on the other end, when they passed that late term abortion bill in New York, that they lit up some of the buildings in New York City pink to celebrate that. And it's like, so wait a minute, where does life really matter to you? Or is it that it doesn't really matter so much, but you're using your power to control people? I know I probably should not ask a politician that question because that's kind of a hot question, but it just doesn't seem to match up to me, Casper, that he and other politicians are using their power because they say they care about people and life. But yet when I really, you know, pull the veil back on it, I'm not seeing so much that they do.
Yeah, well, I'm a different kind of politician. I don't have any problem speaking to that because that is absolutely correct. You know, they don't have they pick and choose which lives they, you know, they're trying to save depending on what helps their agenda. So it's a sad situation for sure. Hey, I wanted to get in information about our event that's coming up on the 11th of April. In fact, yours truly is going to be the MC for that event. It's going to be a Reagan Day event that we're doing online.
I'm so excited about doing that. Yes.
Yeah. And we're going to be celebrating American freedom. It's going to be the theme of this online event. And it's such a timely event for such a time we find ourselves in. So we're getting the platform set up right now, but they can go to my website, casper4colorado.com. That's forcolorado.com. And they can get more information by going to the event page, the event tab, and they can see the event on our calendar. But you're going to be the MC. Elber Guillory is going to be speaking at that event. Laura Carno is going to be speaking at that event. Derek Wolburn is going to be speaking at that event. Heidi Genault is going to be speaking at that event. C.L. Bryant is going to be speaking at that event. Karen Cataline is going to be speaking at that event. Myself and Steve House are going to be all speaking at that event. Going to be an awesome day.
Okay, so that's going to be on April 11th. It's Saturday. Is that 10 o'clock? Do I remember right?
Starts at 10 a.m., yes.
Okay, great. So go to CasperForColorado.com. And Casper, why don't we, let's get together next week. We'll have you on the show again next week as you are finalizing details. But thank you so much for standing up for freedom here in America. And thank you for running for Congressional District 7. Greatly appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Kim. Take care.
Okay. And Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, just fantastic.
Well, it's just wild out there, Jason. What words of wisdom do you have for us today?
Well, I try to keep it consistent, so try to stay calm. Try to build a watch list. Again, if the market's off its high by 30% or one of your mutual funds that has had a good track record over the long term is off its highs by 30%, you could consider adding some to it. Now, that's not the same thing as with an individual stock, Kim. Remember, any individual stock, it can theoretically go to zero. You know, it can blow up, go bankrupt, mm-hmm. go to zero, but a fund that owns many different stocks is unlikely to go completely kaput. So historically, again, if you've got a good fund that holds domestic, solid U.S. companies, and it's 30% or more off its highs, historically that's been a good time to add a few shares. You've been rewarded in the past for buying cheap, so instead of worrying, take a little bit of action if you have some cash.
Well, and you know, during these times, I think there's great opportunity when it hurts, when it seems somewhat painful, to maybe, like you mentioned, go in and buy something that you know is good. It's 30% cheaper than it was a few weeks ago. It probably makes sense. But people really should sit down with professionals like you and your team at Presidential Wealth Management before they really make any moves.
Well, that's true. Take a look at your overall risk tolerance. You know, hopefully you have an overall plan in place for retirement. If you're younger, you're just trying to figure out how much to save and maybe what to do with it. But we've got a lot of great advisors, both old ones and then very, very young ones like me. And some others there, great fine men and women that can help you out no matter what age you're at or kind of no matter what your objective is, Kim. So don't hesitate to give us a call. We are at the phones, even if we're remotely at our offices. That number's 303-694-1600. Again, it's 303-694-1600. One of our fine advisors will be happy to talk to you and help you out with whatever you need.
Well, and Jason, are you driving Melissa crazy since you're working from home?
Oh, she loves it. She doesn't ever want me to go back to work.
Well, I heard this. I saw this joke. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can. It says two women are talking and they said, "So where's your husband?" She says, "Oh, he's out in the garden." She says, "I don't see him." She says, "Well, you need to dig a little deeper."
Yeah, we're not there yet. you know, my neighbors yesterday, they texted and said, "You want to come over and throw some axes?" And they have these, they're like little miniature axes. They're throwing them at the pole. I'd never done that before. I said, "Don't let Melissa get hold of one of these."
And you were 6 feet apart when you were doing that, right?
Correct.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Jason McBride, thanks so much. I know I'm probably a little too flippant this morning with all the seriousness, but, you know, I feel like we have to laugh a little bit, so it's a serious
time.
Oh,
no, you're just fine. Yeah, if we can't laugh a little bit, then we'll just be crying all the time.
That's for sure. So,
and then we'll
Jason, thanks so much for
CNN.
never mind. So,
okay,
hey, Jason
bye,
McBride,
bye.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio about this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing. And also what Medicare for All would look like during a situation like this. So we'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And that is Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA. Aaron Will has come up with this great plan every day at noon to play that on your computer or your phone, just to remind us about how lucky we are to be Americans and also to ask for God's blessings upon this this fabulous land. On the line with me is a dear friend of mine, Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She was one of the few people in America that actually read the whole Obamacare bill. And so she has a deep understanding of where people have been trying to move us on healthcare policy. But today, with what's going on with the COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing, we thought it would be timely to at least talk a bit about that from a physician's standpoint. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me again, Kimmy.
So the life is weird right now with this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing. What's your thoughts about it, Jill?
It's bizarre. I tend to agree with what they've done with kind of sequestration and that so far. It seems as if we are leading the world in the rapidity with which it's spreading. As according to like this morning's, what I'm seeing on the CDC this morning, you know, 26,000 new cases, which is over a quarter of the new cases throughout the world that have been reported anyway, and obviously, and we have more testing. So a lot of that is just from, advances in testing. The thing is, you know, honestly, the statistics, except for hospitalizations and deaths, you know, you're never going to really know what your denominator is at this point. It's spreading too fast. We don't have the testing to test everybody. That would be prohibitive. And we don't have the testing yet. And the tests are changing. And people around the world are using different tests. And some of the tests developed in China that other people are using aren't working, or aren't reliable. They only work 30% of the time or something. So it's all over the place. But I have to say that I really think Trump is doing an amazing job. The big problem is, how do you balance the health of people against the economy? And we couldn't have anybody better in the presidency, in my opinion, to approach that incredible dilemma. I agree with what they've done so far. How long we can keep this up is kind of crazy. It's just really spreading. It would obviously be much worse if we weren't holed up right now. We'll have to see what happens in the next week or so. So anything more specific?
I still am struggling really with this whole force thing. I see a lot of governors and mayors that seem to me that they're using this for kind of excessive force. And I think how you're mentioning, you thinking this, you know, staying inside our home is a good idea. And I'd much prefer that we have the information And then I think people will make that choice and make choices when they go out to, you know, try to stay 6 feet apart. But I'm really concerned about this, what I consider an overreach on, you know, these using mandates to shut people into their homes, saying who's essential, who's not essential, saying that, for example, Ralph Northam's is going to shut down Virginia until June 10th. That scares people. It seems like more measured responses shows much better leadership. What's your thoughts on that, Jill?
I agree. I think this is kind of this is going to show who's what kind of what our politicians truly believe in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What they say versus what they do, and what they have always wanted to do. You know, it's kind of, you know,
yes.
I feel like there are certain politicians who want to be able to so control the population that, and they tend to be left leaning by a long shot versus the guidelines, but we're not going to arrest you for this, but we're kind of going to shake our fingers at you and kind of go, you're being a jerk, you know? So, and the crazy thing is in New York, they're still running the subways. There are still people out playing basketball and all that. And, you know, I don't know. Oh, well, you know, one of the things I wanted to emphasize, because I think this isn't said enough. Everybody's talking about ventilators and everything, but that's kind of the rate limiting step when it comes to dealing with this on a medical standpoint. It's how many people are going to be hospitalized and how do we manage that? How many people need ventilators, and how do we manage that? That's what makes this different than the flu. I mean, this is way different than the flu. In the first place, it's not a flu virus. It's a cold virus. It always has been. So the whole respiratory distress aspect of it is what makes it so dangerous, and the fact that it can obviously spread pretty easily. Now, the other thing, the whole 100,000 to 240,000 on their projected numbers of potential deaths is kind of like, that just seems way over the top for me, considering we're at 5,000 right now. So, it's a constantly changing, you know, we get more data all the time on it, and the model projections change all the time. But I have to say, you know, government-produced models for things like climate change, not always reliable. I mean, it was a government agency that said that mammography, even now with low-dose mammography, that mammography causes more deaths than it saves, and the data on that thing was absolutely ridiculous on a study prepared by Obama's administration. Right.
And so that's your business. You're a radiologist, so that's your business.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, the epidemiology seems kind of crazy. It seems like for what we really have going on here, when you really look at the numbers, you're like, big deal. You know?
Well, yeah. But
it's because of the ventilators.
Well, and so it's so difficult to fight an unknown. But every day we get more information. And then we also forget, I think some people don't put into the equation the creativity and innovation of the human mind and how that we can come up and fight against these things. It was very sobering for me the other day, though, when I guess it was the press conference a couple of days ago with President Trump, where he said, we're in for, you know, the next 2 weeks, 30 days is going to be tough. And I'm kind of like, what has changed? I've seen these hospital ships go to New York. You know, they're putting up these field hospitals. I mean, he's pretty serious about this whole thing.
Yes. And Trump has always been a person that surrounds himself with good advisors. And he hears a whole bunch of different things. Now, you know, it's also, he's walking a real tightrope. Right. So he has to be very careful to make sure that he's not putting Americans at risk. But real soon, we're going to have to make a decision on the economy. And then it's going to have to be a major trade-off, which kind of brings you to how could people get back to work? So, you know, I believe that the further, obviously, the further apart you are, like the Midwest, you look at the map of the U.S., I'm looking at it right now, I mean, like Montana, Idaho, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas. I mean, the people aren't crammed in like they are in New York and California and Chicago and that sort of thing. So obviously, you know, they could, and the farmers are in the field. Nothing's going to keep a farmer out of his field and away from his livestock. You know, they're, and they have workers, and it's just kind of like, you can tell us what you want, but we got to get the work done or the country doesn't eat. So, you know, the farmers are doing their thing, which is great, but you're going to have to figure out how to get people back to work. And, you know, one of the things is barriers. You know, you and I talked about it briefly yesterday, but masks do help, okay? The reason that they've been telling you don't wear a mask, people don't wear it right, you know, it's garbage, it's baloney. Masks do help. The reason they've been saying that is so that everybody doesn't go out and hoard masks, because they will. You know, I'm sorry, if you can't get a roll of toilet paper, do you really think that they're not going to hoard masks? Mm-hmm. So it would put the healthcare workers at risk. And you think about the healthcare workers are being potentially exposed many, many times a day.
Right, right.
So, and especially anesthesiologists. I mean, I've got a friend that's an anesthesiologist at Mayo in Scottsdale, and she's, you know, talking about the, all the different protective gear that they're having fitted on and all this stuff. She says, you know, as an anesthesiologist, I'm in the airway. I am at the mouth many times a day. So it's absolutely imperative that we protect those folks. So, you know, don't be a jerk and hoard masks. But if you look online, there are a boatload of YouTube videos on how to make a face mask. And some of these, the HEPA filters from the vacuum cleaners, that's going to be the next shortage. So if you want to stock up on something. But the HEPA filters will actually filter out up to the same level of microns, like 3 microns, as the N95 face masks do. So Cedar Rapids, a hospital in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, got together some local seamstresses and gave them a little tutorial on how to make a cover for a HEPA filter mask that can actually be used in the hospital. Or, better yet, make your own mask, wear it at home when you go to the grocery store. If nothing else, put a scarf around your face. We've been talking about this briefly now, just now. But it's kind of, yeah, a barrier is always going to be better than no barrier. So maybe that's, but you know, have some homemade masks, or you know, have something over your face and hand sanitizer, and maybe we could get a lot of people back to work under those conditions. If it was, you know, it's just kind of like, just be careful, folks. Right?
Okay.
Now we can start to get back.
Okay, well, let's go to break, Jill, because we need to get people back to work. That's for sure. And I think that, again, creativity, innovation, you know, those that want to control people, they always, they talk about a shortage and then like there could not be anything done about that. But yesterday when you and I were talking, preparing for this call, there's all kinds of things that can be done. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Dr. Jill Vecchio. You won't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com. 'Cause there ain't no
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Throughout the month of April at noon every day, Aaron Will came up with this great plan to bring us together, to unify us, play that song on your computer, your telephone. And yes, God bless the USA. We need to pray for our country, pray for our world, pray for our president. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She read the complete Obamacare bill, and so she's an expert on health care. But particularly right now, we're talking about COVID-19, the Wuhan virus. And Jill, yesterday, we were talking about this personal protective equipment, the PPE. And we've seen headlines that are trumpeting that there's not enough, you know, face masks, there's not enough ventilators. But yet I'm seeing some real creative things happen. And you had mentioned kind of a comparison between Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and New York. So explain that to our listeners.
Exactly. It's almost like comparing how New Orleans reacted to Katrina with, you remember, shortly after the tsunami in Japan. So New York, all I'm hearing is, you know, screaming and hollering from Cuomo and de Blasio about what the federal government isn't doing for them versus... which is kind of like what you heard from the mayor of New Orleans and the governor of Louisiana, right, after Katrina. Mm-hmm. You're not doing enough. Where are you for me? Whereas after the tsunami in Japan, the Japanese took it upon themselves to fix their own problem. It's like the flooding in Nebraska, hardly anybody even heard about it. What was it, a year and a half mm-hmm. ago or something? Mm-hmm. That, I mean, almost the entire state was flooded for months and months, and it just now has gone away, and it's probably going to happen again this spring. They took care of it themselves. I mean, they took care of helping each other move their livestock with, you know, planes and helicopters. It's kind of, they managed it themselves. So Cedar Rapids, Iowa is having local seamstresses make these. It's a really brilliant design for a mask that so they do the sewing part and the fabric part. They give that to the hospital, and the hospital puts in the HEPA filter. They use pipe cleaners to form it around your nose. They put elastic on for your ears, and then they can use it in the hospital. And they just can change out the filter, but you can use those masks a lot longer. So now we have New York. They're being inundated with potential, you know, so they're doing all this testing. Every time they test a patient, at least early on, they were using the mask one time, throwing it away and using a new mask, knowing that they were going to have a shortage of masks. Now, considering that we've got seamstresses in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, that can make masks, we have an entire fashion industry in New York City, right? The fashion capital of North America. You telling me they don't have enough fabric and enough people to sew and making, they could be making thousands and thousands of masks every single day. Where's Wall Street? These guys that get bonuses of hundreds of millions of dollars, where are they? Because you know they're making a ton of money short in the market. So it's kind of like, don't tell me New York doesn't have resources to help with this, to help themselves more. And if it's happening, I'd love to hear about it, but I'm not seeing it anywhere. That significant industry in New York that is very wealthy isn't stepping up to the plate here. I mean, are you hearing anything?
Well, I'm not. And it's such an interesting point. And that is, it's kind of like roll up our sleeves. Are we going to roll up our sleeves and attack the problem and be creative, be innovative, or are we going to sit there and whine? I think that's kind of what we're seeing here. Is that what you're saying, Jill?
Absolutely. It's kind of like, you know, Lord helps those who help themselves. And if you're just sitting back and using your citizens as pawns in a political game to make Donald Trump look bad, then that's abhorrent. You know what I mean? And you kind of feel sometimes like that's what's happening. The healthcare workers are at horrible risk there. Now they're using surgical masks, the paper masks. They're using those all day long. on multiple patients. Well, that's not useful because those masks will absorb your own breath and the moisture from your own breath. And sometimes over time, if that gets fairly saturated with moisture, then it becomes almost more absorbent. You know, it's more of a an exchanger of moisture from other people. So you only want to wear a surgical mask for a certain period of time, but then you could always take it off, have some kind of a disinfectant process, dry it out, and put it back on again. You know, you would think that all other things, if you're really in a crisis shortage, there are ways you could do this without having somebody wear the same mask all day long without changing it out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So it's like,
or for half the day without changing it out, knowing that from a medical standpoint, you've just destroyed the usefulness of that mask. There are so many other things that can be done. And I guess I'm not hearing what else they're doing other than we need more masks.
Well, yeah. And then they want to lay the blame if we don't have enough masks at the feet of Donald Trump. And, you know, he's stepping back. He's saying, you governors, you mayors, take care of your, you know, you're supposed to be taking care of what you're supposed to be taking care of. We're really kind of a last resort. So, you know, I think you brought up an interesting point. I think there's some real politicization of this whole issue, but we won't really know that until we've really walked through this. But then the veil is going to be off, Jill, on who really was using this to try to tear down the other person or their political opponent, and who was really caring about the American people. We're going to find out as we walk through this, and when we get to the end of this, I think we're going to see this is going to be a whole different world when we get through this.
I agree 100%, and there's nobody I would rather have in office like ever than Donald Trump right now. This is kind of if you wanted a tsunami of events that would try the best of presidents, I think he's absolutely the person to have in this role because he appreciates federal versus states' rights. He is absolutely right to say we leave it to the states. You know your state, you know your demographics, you know what you need. You tell us, we'll get it to you as best we can, but you also need to come up with solutions. So start getting creative. And that is absolutely the correct thing to do when according to the Constitution, according to what his job is. So it's you think about what Barack Obama would have done under these circumstances, and I kind of shudder. I mean, it's kind of like, thank heaven he's not in charge at this time.
And we have just a couple of minutes. So the question, why? Why do you see such a difference? Why are you glad that Trump is in office instead of Obama?
Number one, he's a businessman. I am astounded at how quickly he was able to contact industries, negotiate with them, and get them to innovate, get the airlines to fly cargo, get car manufacturers to make ventilators. I mean, that boggles my mind. And I tend to think that the way Obama would have thought would have been, well, we have this many ventilators, we're going to have to decide who gets them and who doesn't. Because
really?
To them, it's all about limited resources. It's all about, now we have to prioritize. Well, maybe the older people over this age, now we have this crisis, never let a crisis go to waste. You want to institute single-payer health care, then the federal government will now take over this crisis. Whereas, and then if they take over the crisis, you know it's going to be ineffective, like inefficient. It's going to waste a ton of money. It's not going to get care to the people that need it. Well, you know, he would have to create five new bureaucracies in order to even get started on something. And then it'd be, now we have to decide who gets and who doesn't. Now we get to pick winners and losers because that's what they do. So that to me would be the scenario that would play out, in my opinion, if we had someone who believes in single-payer health care and the government control of things. And that's what Obama did. You know, Obamacare was just the beginning to get us to single payer. This crisis would have pushed it all the way over the edge And he would have instituted single-payer health care by taking over, we'll take over from the federal side.
Wow.
Which is not the thing that has to happen.
Okay. Hey, Jill, we are out of time. We've got to get you on again. This is just great information. So, Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Creativity, innovation, the American spirit. Dr. Benjamin Rush, he was one of our founders. He said, temperate, sincere, and intelligent inquiry and discussion are only to be dreaded by the advocates of error. The truth need not fear them. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.